1230.
That's WHTO. We want to have you with us. We want you all to know. You're welcome. All you need to know is what you want to know. You're welcome on WHTO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:28. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. Going to be talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. Congressman is getting ready to board a plane and is going through security at the moment. So as soon as he gets through that, he's going to be calling in this morning. So I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take our break here, and we will come back, and hopefully he's made it through security by that time, and we will chat with Congressman Mike Bost here on the People Speak. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back. It is 9:34. Again, I'm Jeff, talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. And Congressman, you're in transit, I guess, somewhere. But
I am. I'm actually at the airport. I just left the Capitol where the Democrats passed that socialist bill, and it was with only Democrat votes. And matter of fact, one Democrat didn't vote for it. But it was, we'll see what happened in the Senate, but it is a very, very, very bad bill. It has, for months, the president has said, that it will cost you nothing. Well, even the CBO score said that there were, when all the taxes and all the things, the gimmick pay-fors are in place, they came out with a CBO score that's the nonpartisan group that we're supposed to check and see how much it's going to actually cost, a bill is going to cost, or whether it's paid for or not. And then they came in yesterday afternoon late, and it has over $400 billion that they say it is actually short. So that means the only way you can do is try to pay for it. If they pass it, is try to put something, either raise more taxes or borrow. The list goes on and on, and remember, they got that score by changing a few things, like, for instance, the full coverage of child care. That they reduced it so it expires in 1 year. Well, you know good and well they're not going to let it expire, and if you put that on there, this is over a 10-year period, you're talking $10 billion or $10 trillion, and this is the type of stuff they're playing games with. But so let me tell you some things that are in this bill. The billions of dollars in the Green New Deal implementation, okay? It provides for 8 million illegal immigrants. It includes $2.5 billion infringe on and actually new laws to come out to try to take your Second Amendment rights away. It's got $80 billion that they've put into the IRS so that they can double the number of agents so that they can come and target you and find out to make sure. A socialist government can only work only when the government knows exactly how much money you have and know how much they can take from you, and that's what the IRS agents are for. So, and what it does not include, this is important to a lot of people in my district, I know that, it does not include protections that would stop taxpayer dollars funding abortion. It mandates abortion coverage in Obamacare plans in states that did not expand the Medicaid, and it provides billions of public dollars. It provides billions for public health grants, and none of those public health grants have what's known as the Hyde Amendment, which we've had for 40 years, which stops the use of taxpayer dollars for abortion. With inflation skyrocketing and everything like that, this is just crazy. The Democrats, when it passed, were all excited and screaming, and this should not be called the Build Back Better Plan. It should be called Build Back Beijing Act, because it, what the amount of money that it's given to, and is going to have to give to China, and then the money that's going to have to be borrowed from a government that is not in the red. It is terrible for our children and grandchildren. Now let me do tell you this, and if it sounds like I'm a little tired, I am, because what happened is yesterday evening when this was being debated, Kevin McCarthy came on the floor and started debating and explaining everything in this bill and everything that's done and everything this administration's done, and for 8 hours and 35 minutes until 5:15 this morning, he was joined by a majority of us as members on the floor discussing and explaining so that the Democrats knew exactly what they were passing, and also the American people, if they want to listen to it, they get to know exactly what's passed. It is terrible. Now, the one advantage we may have on this is that it doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere in the Senate, but it shouldn't have ever made it out of the House. But it is extremely bad.
I guess it's the Senate where I've heard talk already that there's a number of Democratic senators that are against it.
Yeah, it's just too big. You got Sisma and Manchin for sure, but even other ones are saying no. This is too crazy. This is too big. This would change America to the socialist nation that they're wanting. And like I said, when they're double the IRS agents to come hunt you down, and to make sure that you pay every dime you're supposed to them, and then whenever Biden says this doesn't affect it affects every taxpayer. One, because of what's going to do to inflation, because inflation is a tax on everybody. But then also, middle income, theirs is going to be really bad because the IRS is going to be on them. They're going to be, and if all of a sudden these IRS agents start coming in and hitting everybody, and or for just normal tax filings and things like that, what's going to happen is the middle income family can't afford a tax lawyer. So, you know, they're going to have to deal with all of this, and it's just overgrowing bureaucracy to a point of no return. And but like I said, right now it faces really, really an uphill battle in the Senate, and I think it was vitally important for all of us to bring out everything we brought out over the last couple of days on this bill. We've been bringing it out for weeks, but they kept changing it on us, and they, like I said, they changed it with gimmicks. It's still the original bill, except for the fact that, as they said, they put so that the CBO, and that's a Congressional Budget Office. I keep saying that, kind of talking. You learn to talk in acronyms around here, but it's a Congressional Budget Office. And what the Congressional Budget Office is a nonpartisan group of accountants, basically, and they calculate what the costs are going to be and what they can then try to predict on revenue streams on that they're trying to use, whether they'll work or not. And so the actual score, it's going to cost $1.7 trillion, according to them, but it'll add $367 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years. But actually, as I said before, many of those things are things that, you remember Ronald Reagan had one particular statement he made, and the closest thing you can get to eternal life is a new government program. And all of these programs that they say are only going to be a year, they're not going to be a year. They're going to be many, many years. And if you calculate them out over the full 10-year period that they're going to be put back in, we're looking at $10 trillion. It's just, and people can see it in the grocery stores. They can see it at the gas pumps. You can see all these bad policies and things that are happening. And it's just terrible. You know, let's put it in perspective, the inflation right now, because I had them run the numbers this week of Thanksgiving. You know, when Biden says, first off, we're not facing an economic crisis, obviously he doesn't fuel up his own car. And then the other day he said, well, I saw gas prices in California. They're really bad. He actually made that statement the other day. But yet we're seeing the highest rates of inflation. And since the last time we had almost this high, and it wasn't this high, almost this high, was during Jimmy Carter. So next Thursday, when we have Thanksgiving, we went and kind of ran some numbers on consumer price index. According to Consumer Price Index, turkey will be selling at $1.44 per pound. That's double, if not almost better than double, the cost that it was last year. The cost of mashed potatoes is up 13% since last year. Biscuits are 4.8% increase since last year. Canned vegetables, 6.6% increase since last year. And apples for apple pie, that's 6.7% increase. So you can tell this inflation thing is serious, and it's caused by this. Remember, inflation is too many dollars chasing too few products. Well, when the supply chain is in trouble like it is, and it was caused, but that the supply chain problems has some to do with COVID and some to do with other policies that the administration has done over the last 11 months. But pumping the last COVID bill that was just strictly a partisan COVID bill, that money in, then you throw this money after it, it makes it worse. You add to that the closing down of our pipelines, the stopping of our offshore drilling, the stopping of our drilling in Anwar and other places. Now we've got a fuel shortage, and we're more dependent on OPEC. So now that's why our fuel prices are doubled in the last 11 months. Folks, everybody, and the thing is, you got these people sitting out here in Washington, and either they're not paying attention to who their constituents are or what their constituents are seeing, but it has just gone too far.
Right. Yeah, in talking about the oil aspect of it, too, I mean, 2 years ago, we were self-sufficient in essence.
In energy independent. We were self-sufficient. That's right. And matter of fact, we were selling oil. And now, that you know, now what they're talking about, there's certain people on the other side of the aisle asking for us to tap into the our reserves. Those reserves are stored so that we fill that reserve when fuel is low, so that we can have that reserve there in case of an emergency. This isn't an emergency because we aren't being attacked, but it's a self-inflicted hardship, and so therefore we need to change our policies so that we can go back to where we were a year ago. And actually, but remember, Jeff, this is just this group out here that has already started this war on all fossil fuels. And the thing is, you're starting a war on fossil fuels before we're even ready to have the amount of electric cars we're supposed to, that they'd have to have. And not only that, China's building them, not us. So why would we put ourselves in that situation when we were doing so well a year ago? And they're just blind to it and blind to the people. And you know, it's like everything else in their policies, though. You know, the frustration is just amazing. And if people are, I hope the people wake up around this nation and understand that we need to put a block in place. And the best way we can put that block in place is the elections this next time around. And that's make sure that the House is turned back over to the Republicans and hopefully the Senate, too.
Right. Talking about the electric aspect, you know, electric vehicle. The comment I made to someone once was basically, when I have the ability to go down to my local convenience store in any town and plug in and charge up, then it's feasible. Until that point, in which we're not anywhere near that point, you know, it's not feasible to do.
Right, right. And you said something right there that's vitally important. Right now, you go to any gas station or convenience store or whatever, all of our gas stations and everything like that. You do know that whenever the internal combustion engine was created, the government didn't go out and create filling stations. Well, remember in that bill they passed the other day, $600 billion of the $1.5 trillion that they passed for the infrastructure bill is to build the wiring system so that you'll have generation spots all over the United States to charge these cars. Well, the reality is that with gas cars, with the internal combustion engine, the free market developed it. And why? Because there was a need for it. And if you would have watched, the charging stations were occurring. They were occurring at hotels, some truck stops, and everything like that. They were making that investment because they saw the need to the level that it is. And once it got up to the level that it is, if they're going to continue to push for these electric cars, then what will happen is free market will take care of it. But instead, they took your tax dollars way ahead of time, $600 billion of your tax dollars, to build the, let's call them the fuel stations of the future. and the fuel stations of the future are going to be owned by the government, not by individuals in the free market system. Socialism. That's exactly what we're doing.
Exactly. I tell you what, we got a break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick and get that out of the way. We'll come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. It is 9:51, and I'm Jeff, talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, and we're talking about the infrastructure bill.
Jeff,
yes.
Yeah, there was something else that happened that we might want to touch on, too, that happened this last week. Actually, it started last month, and that's whenever the Attorney General Garland, who testified before one of the congressional hearings, and said that the Department of Justice and the FBI were not targeting parents who voiced their concerns at school board meetings. But then on Tuesday of this week, Tuesday night, a whistleblower came to Congress and revealed, or to staff at Congress, and revealed that that was not the case. Actually, we have what we discovered is that the day that General Garland testified before the hearing, the day before, he had sent out a memo that they were targeting and that they gave them a certain class and status. Now, here we have a crisis of the border. We got an economic crisis. We're increasing crime across the country. Yet the Biden administration is wasting resources on investigating parents. And let me tell you that this is a real problem. Two problems that exist. One, if General Garland either was uninformed or he was lying, which is either way, we got a problem. And the fact that they're going to use a federal agency to target people going to our local school boards and using their fright and free speech to express if they have concerns about any of the things that their children might be being taught, or the mask mandates, or all the different things, and going in and expressing their concern to, guess what, their local government. The closest group of local government elected officials is your local school board. Now, I'm going to tell you this, Jeff, that as far as I'm concerned, I don't see this a lot in my district, because I can tell you that I think our school boards, the local elected officials, do a very, very good job. They're also very comfortable with having people coming in, the parents coming in and talking about their children and talking about how their children are receiving education and how they're receiving it, and also the curriculum that they're using. And this is a basic freedom of the electorate. And if there is a school board issue that people are getting upset at, it shouldn't be the FBI coming in. It's your local police departments coming in and to handle this. And you know, that just when you are going to express yourself before an elected officials, and if your voice gets raised, that doesn't make you a national threat. It means that you're upset over an issue you might need to be upset over. And they know that your elected official is not doing what they're supposed to do. And to the level that this was done, and this was done by a teacher's organization that later then wrote the president how they wanted him to interfere with this, and then later wrote a letter because they got in trouble because they got caught writing that letter, apologizing for writing that letter. Because, you know, if somebody really commits a crime that is to a level that the federals have to get involved, that would mean that they'd have to cross state lines to do it, and that's when it goes away from the state to get the FBI involved and federal marshals and things like that, the DOJ. So this is just one more overreach by this new administration in a way that is just shocking and should be shocking to the American people, because it is government control at its worst.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and kind of a thing that points out to where people actually, I think, stand on this issue, the majority anyway, are working in that direction, is the recent Virginia governor's race.
Right.
I mean,
well, I think it's wild. That whole race out there, and the one in New Jersey, the way the numbers went there, you know, you had the second most powerful elected official in the state which was the president of the Senate, was beat by a truck driver just because he got frustrated and was tired of the way things were going. He only spent $153 and beat the second most powerful elected official in the state. Now, here's the good thing. That's good news and bad news. The good news on that is it's really good news, is it shows that the people are frustrated and anyone can run for office and take these people out and should. But the bad news is we already have a truck driver shortage and we just lost another truck driver.
That is true. But the one comment that was made in that election, though, is the one that really gets me. And it's what I think a lot of these people who are purporting this, that statement by McAuliffe where he said he doesn't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. Well, I disagree with that.
That's why we should all disagree with that. That's why do you think we have elected school boards? That's because we do tell them what to teach, because we elect the school board to govern it so that if they do something wrong, we can unelect them. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said about I don't see a problem in my district. And if it is, it's only one school district that maybe wouldn't listen. But for the most part, our school districts, you know, these are the same people that you go out and have coffee with every day. And you know, you go to the basketball games and football games with them, and you know them every day. And they know, and they want your kids to receive the best education possible under the morals and values of our local communities that elect those school boards. But once again, this just goes to show, whether it was the vote that we were talking about a while ago, when all of the liberals on the left got that vote out of the House today, all of these programs are for bigger government and more control, because the government knows how to run your life better than you do. And the government knows how to raise your children better than you do. And the government, if they just take enough of your money and then make sure they take it and know exactly what you got so they can take it and put it where they want it, they can make your life exactly where the government wants it to do. And you know what? We used to make those statements and think, oh, no, they would never do that. We're seeing the reality of it right now, and it's very scary at the speed at which it's moving.
And true. You just look over the past, what's it been, about a year now? I mean, not quite a year, actually. And
right.
the things that happened.
We're 11 months. We're 11 months into this administration, and these are the radical things we're doing. And the other thing is still out there, too, that we didn't touch on, is last month, the October numbers for border crossing, 164,303 arrests were made. That's the highest number since ever. So in the last year, it's been, since Biden's been in office, 1.6 million of those have been arrested since Biden took office. And he just, it was all about rolling back Trump's ideas that were working just because they were Trump's ideas. And so I've written about six letters, in different issues dealing with the border crisis. And it's just, every time you turn around, they're reducing, they're changing what ICE can do. The administration called for the one piece of legislation is Remain Mexico requirements that Trump put in place. I've got a bill, and I'm co-sponsor of it, a bill that puts that back in place because that was working. And all it says is that if you want to apply for citizenship here, that's fine. You just stay in the country where you're at until you get that application in. That's fine. But that's legal, you see, and they don't want that. They want the increase the illegals coming in, and it isn't just affecting border states anymore. It's affecting the whole nation.
Right. Congressman, it sounds like we're about out of time, but I do appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me on, and I look forward to talking to you next month. Hopefully, by this time, the Senate will have killed that bill, and we'll feel better about it.
I hope so.
So have a happy Thanksgiving, too, for all your listeners, too.
All right, and you, too, Congressman.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.